Welcome. You're about to listen to a message from LifePoint, a warm, friendly, and vibrant community for the young at heart.
Okay, one for this side, and then let's have one for this side. Thank you, guys. All right, so let's take quick comments. What was like the highlight of the discussion for you personally within your respective groups? Feel free to tie it to your own personal story. Feel free to tie it to the discussion, the case studies that were shared. Identify things like a major source of anger that you picked out from the discussion and any other thoughts you want to share quickly. Let's take maybe two comments, two people. Anybody on this side? Anyone? Anna wants to share. All right, go ahead. And then we'll have someone from this side.
Good evening.
Hi,
everybody. So something that I... Hey, Drew. I'm Ellie, again. Hi. So I think something that was very interesting to me was the fact that we were able to take apart... So we looked at Cain and Abel's story, and we're able to take apart the exact reason, like, he was angry. We were able to take apart the story. We were able to...
So who was he angry with?
So we divined that he was angry with God, but also angry with maybe his environment and his brother. There could have been some sort of, oh, they're always favoring Abel over me type situation.
Well, the Bible doesn't say, so we can't...
I mean,
it's an assumption, but go ahead.
So... Because we figured that, well, he ended up taking out his anger on Abel. And I'm very sure if you love your sibling and you don't resent them in any shape or form, you're not going to wake up in the morning and go and decide to kill them. So it's like,
fair point.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, and then, you know, they break your favorite plate and then boom, that's it. You know, boom, that's it.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing. In any other comment? Okay, Karina.
So I came late, and what I got was Demladi's last point, which was that if you are angry, you should do good deeds, and the anger will fade. And
that's a very spiritual response.
And I'm finding it hard to come to terms with that. Yes, it did not work.
It did not cause the anger to fade.
Let's just say it caused more reason to be angry.
Right.
As in, so there was like a backlash. Like, so I was like, why did I put myself there in the first place? I could have been quietly away, respecting my space. Oh, not to the person. So, okay. Take my point back.
All right, then. Thank you, Karina.
I wanted to just clarify. Sorry. So we read the chapter, the verse in the Bible, Genesis 4, verse 7. It says, if you do well, you will not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. That's the desire of sin. And thou shalt rule over him. And the point we're trying to make is that the pathway to ruling over sin, even the sin of anger, is by doing well. And that's why I was saying that if you do, the Bible says, if you do good works, then you have the ability to master the desire of sin, or master that anger. And that's one of the things that God said to Cain. So my point was, if you learn to do good deeds, and I had said to him, explained to him that one of the things I do when I'm angry is I go out and I find people to be kind to. And I find that in expressing that, it may not be easy, but in expressing that, I find that my anger starts to dissipate. One example I had was somebody really upset me at home with my family, and I went out to the store and I bought loaves of bread, and I just started handing them out. And seeing the joy and the love on people's faces, it totally waxed away the anger that I was hot going into the thing. And by the time I was done, I felt like I had expressed God's love to so many people. My anger was totally gone, and I could look the person in the face after that. So.
That's a very practical way to go. Thank you so much for sharing that. Adrew, go ahead. Oh, I thought I saw you raise your hand. Okay. All right. So thank you everyone for sharing. And I trust that the discussions within your respective groups were very fruitful. I don't know that we can completely land this anger conversation today or fully unpack it, because if we do and if we x-ray each person's heart, there is something there. Either angry towards someone, angry at a system. A lot of people are angry at, just coming from last week's elections, and you know, there's a lot of anger in there. But what I want us to understand is this. I said that for the benefit of those who came much later, scripture actually says be angry. Okay, but it says do not sin. So what we need to be careful is in the course of being angry, first of all, you need to figure out why. People have been angry justifiably, but they have allowed the anger sit and fester for so long that it has then progressed into a whole lot of other mess. Cain here, there's a way you read the story and it looks as though, oh, it was the day of offering. Bring your sacrifice to church. It's like, come and give your offering to God in church. And then Cain and Abel and their parents strut to the house of worship. And everybody's presenting their offering. And God, and I don't know what happens, but fire does not come down on Cain's offering for some weird reason. And Cain goes angry and he goes and kills his brother. That's not what happened. That could not have been what happened. Otherwise, it would not make sense. There's got to be stuff that happened in the background that you and I, in within the lines of that scripture or those verses there, it doesn't fully encapsulate the state of the heart, but God shows us, which is what Demilade read. God gives us a glimpse into the heart of Cain. And that is why anger is a heart matter that needs to be resolved. Eventually leads to the place of sacrifice causing him to murder his brother. But it did not start on the day they came to offer their sacrifice. God said, if you do well, if you do good, if you do right, you know, sin lurks at the door of your heart. And that's usually what's happening. Pierre was telling us on Sunday, scripture in Revelation that he read, I stand at the door and I knock. God is knocking on our hearts. But there are other things that are knocking on our hearts too. Knocking on the doors of our hearts, trying to gain entrance. It is up to you and I to mount those guardrails and prevent them from gaining access. People will offend us. That's normal. People will hurt us. The people that you love the most, the people who are closest to you the most, sometimes they will not validate you. Sometimes they would be mean to you. Sometimes they will pull a Joseph stunt on you, sell you, curse you out, stab you in the back. You and I cannot imagine. I mean, just imagine if Joseph had borrowed a leaf from Cain. I mean, Abel did not even offend Cain. The anger was towards God. He carried it out on Abel. But imagine that Cain, the Cain heart was the Joseph heart. Do you know the nations that would have perished? Honestly, they will go to prison. They will not get food. They will die of poverty. It will not be well with them and their children and their children's children. I mean, just think about it. So fundamentally, it shows the state of the heart. It shows that our hearts are really critical and we cannot afford to let things like anger steal from us. Some of the stories you read, look at the Absalom. There was a group that did Absalom and Amnon story. This one was, I'm fighting a righteous cause. And I heard some people discussing, I was chuckling. He said, who is at fault? The rapist. The rapist was at fault. Obviously, the rapist was at fault. Obviously, the rapist paid for it 2 years later with his life. But it destroyed an entire family. Could things have been done differently? Absolutely. Could David have intervened? Could Absalom have expressed his hurt? How do you carry that kind of anger in your heart for 2 years? Some of you are carrying five-year-old issues in your heart. Five-year-old hurt and pain. And even longer than five years. Some people are still carrying the hurt from when you were a child against your sibling. Food. Parents, thank you very much. Parents, you know how you know you're still angry? Let's do a quick self-check. Are there things that you struggle to do right now for anyone that has hurt you? Do you gloat when you see someone who's hurt you going through pain? maybe a similar type of pain that you've experienced in the past. Does your heart rejoice? Does your heart rejoice? Are you happy? Do you deny, deliberately withhold help from the people that have hurt you? It shows you're still angry. Or the people that look like them. Or the people that come from where they come from. Their family, their lineage. Have you made certain vows subconsciously that you will never do certain things for certain types of people? We're doing self-checks, guys. We're trying to be very practical. So if you are checking yes to some of these questions, it means you're still dealing with anger. There is unresolved anger that is tending towards resentment and hate. I'm struggling not to ask you outrightly, are there people you hate? Because I know we're all feeling very spiritual, so there's a high likelihood you say, oh, no, it's not that deep, but I am very angry. By the time we distill that anger properly, we'll say it has already entered rage and hate. You hear stories about spouses who just wake up one day. They didn't just wake up one day and murder their spouse. It is unresolved anger, hurt, pain, frustration that has piled up and brought them to that point where one day something little that triggers them. That can be you and I. Hence why we need to submit. And you know, part of the things that the Holy Spirit said to me concerning tonight's session is the fact that someone will literally feel lighter once that burden is off. But you need to let it out. You need to vomit it. In fact, for someone in particular, the issue that puts you in this place where you are struggling to remember the issue. You just know that you have hurt in your heart against someone. You are just not happy with them. But you're struggling to remember because it's minute, or it has become minute. For some other persons, it is really deep stuff. They took from you. And my heart sympathizes with you. They took from you. And so you are in that position where you feel that they owe you. People who look like them owe you. Institutions owe you. The system owes you. But God wants to set you free tonight, and you need to let the Holy Spirit do His work in your heart. Part of the dangers of staying in that state of anger, one is, if it is not controlled, it can very quickly enter or morph into rage. Anger, wrath, rage, they are siblings. Wrath is excessive anger. Rage is out of control anger. That's why you look at some people, but this guy did not have the tendency. All of a sudden, it became, no, it is stuff that has been building up over time. Scripture says in Proverbs 19:19, the Amplified Translation, it says, a man of great anger, great, not the term that is used to qualify the anger, a man of great anger will bear the penalty for his quick temper and lack of self-control. There are consequences for actions, guys. And let me quickly just drop this in here. There is good anger. There is righteous anger. If anger was not okay, we would not even see it in scripture as be angry. But the qualifier there is, we should ensure that anger never leads us into sin. It is okay to be angry against injustice. It is okay to be angry against unrighteousness. Jesus models this for us. Righteous anger. Came into the place of worship, saw people buying and selling, whipped them. He was angry at the action, not the people. Where we need to constantly do self-checks, if our anger is perpetually against people, that can make you resent, can make you hate, not the actions, but the individuals. Once it starts to translate from the actions to the individuals, once your heart starts to fill up with hate for the individual, not just their actions, then we know that we have crossed a line and we very quickly need to come back. And some people need to come back to the safety zone. Okay, I'm so sure some people are wondering what the safety zone. We discussed that last week. But you need to get back into the safety zone where your heart is preserved and shielded from anything that can put you in danger. Let's read Ecclesiastes 7:9. Very quickly. I like how the Message translation puts it, but let's read, I think we can read the NKJV translation. It says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, For anger rests in the bosom of fools. Anger resides. That's another translation that puts it. The MSG translation message, can someone find it for me? Speaks about anger bombarding you and then leaving you with lumps on your head, like basbos. If you continue to stay perpetually in that place of anger, you will be hit on all sides. You will be hurt eventually. Because not only the people you are angry against, some people are angry, people that don't even know that you are angry against them. So that's like even wasted effort. So how do we fix these things quickly? Unbridled anger truncates the will and the purpose of God in a matter. Unbridled anger, it frustrates God's will. And the example of Joseph that I referenced, imagine that Joseph had on the cane art. That would have been disastrous. Scripture says the wrath of man does not, it never works out the righteousness of God. But sometimes what we do is we want to, on behalf of God, avenge. We want to embrace that wrath and express it, expecting that righteousness would be produced in the course of us stepping in and fixing the issue ourselves. The hurts that you have, yeah, that you are justified to be angry, but tonight you need to let it go so that God can avenge. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but let God's judgment prevail. You have held on too long trying to ensure that, you know, judgment happens through your hand. But let it go and let God be God on the matter. But more importantly, we've been called to a life of love as God's children, as Christians, as believers. The life we've been called to, and I say it all the time, the Christian walk is not an easy one. Jesus had an opportunity to, the guys who took him to the cross, the guys who spoke to him, we see how Paul would express pain and anger at being wrongly treated by that, what's his name, that guy, the coppersmith. What's that his name? Alexander the coppersmith. He says, it did me much harm. But he ends by saying, God will reward him. Some of you just take that, God will reward you position. It's not a cause. God will reward. Won't God reward? God is a rewarder. But stop trying to fight on his behalf. And I know that there are issues. I know that there is pain. There is hurt. But can I appeal to you tonight that you do not continue in this unwholesome state and truncate the will of God and the purpose of God from coming to pass. Anger destroys critical relationships. It blinds our sense of judgment and it distorts communication. So how do we get this? I love the practical example that Demilade shared about getting over, mastering anger, mastering self-control. Finding the exact opposite. You've just been hurt. The natural response is to want to sit in that hurt, nurse your pain, and be angry with the world for the hurt. But getting up and doing the exact opposite helps. So finding people to genuinely just love. For some people, it is to just pray. Pray for people. Pray for the people that hurt. In fact, that's the commandment Jesus gave. He says, bless those who curse you. See, there's a way we can try and find a nice sounding way to put it. But the word of God is truth. If it were impossible to do, Jesus would never have asked us to. Remember that was the reason why he came in human form, to model this life. For scripture says we have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Everything we're going through, he went through it. Backstabbing friends, you know, being cursed out, called crazy, being rejected, just different things. Different things. We see in scripture all the people that came to Jesus and he got saved. But I imagine that there were people who, of course, not even I imagine. Scripture also tells us of people who spoke against him to his face, spat on him. So I don't know that there's anything you're dealing with that a semblance of it he didn't go through. But he says to us to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who despitefully use you, the people who use you, and that use is not qualified in any form, any shape, any people who use you. And someone here, you have a family member that is their MO is to use, and it hurts you, it riles you, it offends you. What I would say to you to do practically is this. Sometimes we need to separate. You separate to shield your heart. You separate to protect your mind. And from a safe distance, you can pray. From a safe distance, you can love. But not putting yourself constantly in that place where people can keep poking at your heart and hurting you is extremely critical. Doing the exact opposite of how you feel. So you feel like slapping the person, walk away. Don't give in to the emotion. You feel like speaking up, yelling and cursing out. For some, it's with parents. How about you do the opposite and pray in tongues in, under your breath or in your mind? Can we start to find practical ways to solve this? Because every time we give in to our emotions, we destroy critical relationships. We truncate the will of God. We hurt ourselves in the process. So we've said walking away sometimes. You know what we say to little kids? We say to them, count 1 to 20 before you speak. But we've grown older now, and all of us, we don't have guardrails over our mouth. Your boss says one thing to you, and you go and you say your own 5 things back. I give it hot. You give me hot, I give you hot. I'm a Gen Z. I can't take in things anyhow. You can't just be talking to me anyhow. There are so many jobs in the market. You are not my mother. Don't give me mother vibes. Yeah, you know. And you forget for a minute that that person is going to do your appraisal. You forget for a minute that the person is going to, you know, the person is responsible for, when you are not in the room, they are responsible for speaking about you. And you go and you do anyhow. Some of us have responded. You know, there was a time when I started my career, I would always type the emails and leave in my drafts when I'm angry. I would express myself. The only thing, I always made sure that I never put any name in the two, just in case my hand mistakenly hits the send button. So it's empty recipients, but I will type and leave it in the drafts and then come back to it later when I'm calmer. And read it and say, ha, you have finished your destiny. If this mail had gone out. We need to apply wisdom. The wisdom of God is there for us. Now, let me lastly speak to this. Those of us that are angry against God, because that was a total Cain moment or Cain story. Anger towards God. Some of you are still fighting God. And you believe that you're justified to do that, to stay in that position where, God, I don't know what it was you were looking at, too, but you and I on this particular matter, no. The only thing I'm going to say to you guys is this, and I know it's very tough. If I sit down and start to listen to everybody's story, I'm sure I can almost agree with, God, but why now? If I try, have small mercy on this individual. Why? This is a lot. This is a lot. But I need to remind you guys that God loves you, first of all. And you need to believe that. And you need to believe it with every fiber of your being, because storms will come. Challenges will come. Things will happen that will cause you to question or cause you to want to question. But the responsibility we have is to know the God to whom we belong. They that know their God. The knowing isn't just in the good times. You don't know him just for the good stuff. Even in the bad times too, Jesus would say, in the world you would have trials and tribulations. Like some of us need to, in that, every time you read that scripture, put in there, in the world they would serve you breakfast. In the world they would lay you off, even though you've done excellent work. In the world they would take advantage of you. In the world they will use you. In the world they would turn your good acts around. In the world, you will lose loved ones. In the world, they will rape you. And I know that's wild. In the world, stuff will happen. But he says, be of good cheer. And I know that is the part that is difficult. Staying grounded, staying cheerful. In the world, your parents will be irresponsible. In the world, your siblings will sell you. In the world, things will happen. But I have overcome. I have overcome. I pray tonight that God will touch us, each and every person, that place of hurt, that place of pain, especially for everyone who's dealing with anger towards Him, where you've asked Him. I remember just losing my dad and feeling like, but God, I prayed, God, I fasted, I laid hands, I did everything by the book. You know, I expressed my faith. I anointed him with oil. I did what I knew to do. But you see, I never stayed in that place of anger against God because he gave me a word before my dad passed. I've shared this story, I think, a couple times. But for someone here, maybe you never even saw it coming. You never saw the loss coming. You never saw that the person whom you loved and gave your heart to was going to, you know, empty your bank account and take everything that had your name on it, that you were going to be betrayed. You didn't see it coming. Or that the people that love you the most were not going to support your dreams and your aspirations. That they were going to deny you the help that you needed when it was most critical. You didn't see it coming. But tonight, God says to remind you that I am enough for you. You need me. You need me. And I love you. My love is all that matters. My love is all that matters. So can we just bow our heads and speak to God? Part of how we gain mastery over anger. Scripture says, be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. But we need to abound in love. There can't be a vacuum. A lot of times what happens is there is a vacuum. Let the love of God fill your heart. Let the love for God be restored into your heart for that one that is currently in that place where you are angry against God and you feel like he's let you down so many times. Can I ask that you pray for grace? Grace to understand what he's doing in every season of your life. Grace to see him as the one true God that he is. Grace for understanding is so important, because half the time we're in conflict with God because we are lacking in understanding of what he's doing. And it feels like, God, why have I had to wait for so long for this to be done? People who were not as good as I was, people who didn't keep themselves, people who were not faithful, and we start to compare. God, why is this happening to me? Should it have been happening to someone else? Would you go ahead and just pour your heart out to God today? Where is that place of hurt, place of pain? Ask him to heal you tonight. Ask him for help. Someone needs to literally say, God, I need you to help me love you again because I've been hurt. You didn't come through for me when I needed you to, but I'm here again. So I ask, help me. Can we be real with God? He can handle it. What do you want to say to him tonight? What is that thing you want to express to him tonight? Be real with him and say it to him. Tell him how much pain you are in and how you need him to fix this. How you need him to help you. How you need him to prove his love for you, because he does love you. He loves you so much. Father, we thank you. Go ahead and declare over yourself, I receive the grace to arrest every form of anger and to turn away from rage. Love remains my motive. Someone needs to declare that. Love remains my motive. Love guides me. The love of God rules my heart. The love of God rules my actions. In the name of Jesus, the love of God is my MO. Someone needs to make that declaration. I function from a place of love, not from the things that are happening around me, not from the things that are happening within me. Love is my watchword. I am a love being, and I manifest the love of God. So everyone that I hold in unforgiveness, everyone that I am angry against, Lord, tonight I release in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and begin to release people that you're holding in your heart. Remember, it is okay to be angry, but where anger takes us into offense, where anger crosses the boundaries of love, it is not acceptable as God's, as believers, as Christians, as God's children. So pray for grace to remain in God's love, deeply rooted in His love. Someone needs to ask for an understanding of the things that are going on. Would you go ahead and rededicate your heart to Him again and ask that His love will fill you up? His love will light up your life in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, our Father, and we give you praise. I pray for every hurting heart here. I pray for everyone who's dealing with any sort of frustration against injustice, against systems. I ask, Lord, let that anger be channeled, Lord. Let them become signals to what it is that you have called them to do in Jesus' name. Let them act as clear gateways towards the fulfillment of purpose and assignment in the name of Jesus. Let this good and righteous anger, let it not be wasted. I pray for grace and courage for people who need to take action over that righteous anger, who need to get up and get moving in the name of Jesus. For everyone who's in that place of resentment, everyone who's dealing with hurt, with pain, everyone who's devoid of the love of God right now, we ask, Father, for a fresh infilling of your Spirit upon them. It is your Spirit that enables us to love as you've commanded us to. So I ask, sweet Holy Spirit, come upon the hearts of everyone under the sound of my voice afresh. Baptize us afresh with the love of the Father. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen and amen. Thank you everyone for being in service tonight. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope that the message has blessed your heart. To download more free messages, please visit soundcloud.com/LifePointNG. For more information about us and all our other resources, please visit www.lifepointng.org.